Turn away from my words, in other words, New Living Translation. I give you this idea this morning as a teaching, and that is that we can walk in wisdom in every area of our lives. That's the whole idea of what we're going to teach this morning. We can walk in wisdom in every area of our lives. And as an introduction, I want to say we have looked at two kinds of wisdom, which is godly wisdom and ungodly wisdom. We have seen that there are two ways to deal with life. You can deal with God's wisdom and use God's wisdom and employ that. Or you can use the demonic forces that give you earthly, devilish wisdom and apply that. And, you know, many people are involved in those kinds of schemes, you know. And some people here, even today, are still using ungodly wisdom right here in this room. And you might not even know it, and you might not even recognize it or even take stock that you are involved in godly wisdom. Anytime you try to manipulate and cause selfishness to come forth and fighting and so on, that you're applying ungodly wisdom. And we don't want to do that. You can use godly wisdom, or you can use ungodly wisdom, but it's better to have godly wisdom in order to be successful in every endeavor. We have seen God wants us to have wisdom, and today that we will see that walking in wisdom is possible and applicable for every area, every facet of our lives. So let's go look at the working definition. This is a working definition of wisdom. If you're asking yourself, what is wisdom? The meaning of wisdom is the comprehensive insight and knowledge of God's ways and purposes for our lives. And the Bible encourages us to walk in wisdom. I'll just say that one more time. Our working definition is for wisdom is the comprehensive insight and knowledge of God's ways and purposes for our lives. We see here in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 15, the King James Version. Ephesians 5 and 15, Paul is talking to the church that he pioneered. Paul is talking to the church that he started. He was the one that gave birth to the church. He planted the church, established it. And he wrote a letter to them, and he began to encourage them in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 19. And he says, "See that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise." God says you can walk purposely in a way that is pleasing to God. God doesn't want you to be a fool. It says in here, not as fools, but as wise. God is talking to the church. Paul the Apostle is writing this letter to the church at Ephesus. Let me just remind you today that many people that may be hearing my voice right now, maybe on television, maybe they're listening on a podcast or whatever they're doing on their apparatus, or whatever they're watching it on, maybe they're on their tablet, maybe they're at home. And you have used ungodly wisdom, and that you've been walking as a fool, walking outside the plan of God, using conniving ways to get your selfish way. And you know, you have to be able to see this because God is talking through the Apostle Paul. The Holy Spirit is speaking through the Apostle Paul, and God is speaking right now to all of us. He's saying that we shouldn't walk as foolish people, but we should be wise people. Let me look at this in the Amplified Classical Edition of Ephesians 5:15. We'll get that up there on the screen for you. Amplified, it says in there, "Look carefully how you walk. Live purposefully and worthily and accurately, not as the unwise and witless, but as wise, sensible, intelligent people." God wants us to be sensible people. God wants us to use our sensitivity. God wants us to use our brain. God wants us to be intelligent. He wants us to not only appear intelligent, but He wants us to actually have intelligence. God wants us to be people with information to apply to every area of our lives. And I believe that you want that. You want to apply in the area of physical healing to your life. If you're destroying your life, in some manner, God wants you to apply the wisdom of God. If you're having trouble financially, God wants you to use wisdom to apply yourself financially. If you're having trouble with relationships, God wants you to use godly wisdom to apply to that relationship so that you can recover anything or anything you've lost before. And so, so He doesn't want us to be witless. I kind of don't like that word, witless. Because maybe somebody called me that before, but yeah. So, witless, is that a nice name? Look at your neighbor and say, hello, witless. No, I'm just kidding you. No. Okay, no, you won't do that. Let's go to Colossians chapter 4, verse 15. Now, Paul, if you see this, if you've been studying the Bible for a while, you see Paul also established a church there at Colossae, and these two churches are like, God spoke to Paul, through Paul to the churches, and He said almost the same thing to them. The book of Colossians. And if you see the prayer, you see the same kind of prayer that Paul prayed for the Ephesians, same prayer he prayed for the Colossians. Over here he says, walk in wisdom towards them that are without, redeeming the time. I believe God wants us to redeem the time. He wants us to buy back the stupid things you did. Amen? You're a little bit slow this morning, but that's fine. Because I know you're looking for something, you're writing things down, and I get that way too sometimes, and I tell the preacher, wait a minute, I'm just trying to write something there. Wait for me, then I'll react. So we want people to react and write and do all the same thing at the same time. And so unless you're like Pastor Dave, he do everything all at once. And so anyway, so walk in wisdom towards them that are without. That's people in this world. You need to walk in wisdom not only when it's convenient, but you have to use wisdom all the time when it's not convenient. When you're out there, you're not in church, you're working in the field. You're working in your job. You're dealing with people every day. You're at Walmart. You're at the Timmy's or whatever, and then you start acting unwise. You start acting on emotion. You act without thinking. You start to react instead of think and act wisely. And so God wants us to, walk wisely all the time. Let's look at what the writer of Proverbs said later, and we're gonna see this first in Colossians 4, 5 in the Amplified. He says, behave yourself wisely, living prudently and with discretion. Ever notice sometimes you didn't have discretion, but now you have some? You ever notice that some people don't have discretion? Sometimes little children, they don't have any discretion. They just go and say things. I remember one time when I was a little kid, my little brother was with me. My other big brother was with me. And there's one fellow, he came in our house and he had some tea and bannock. And then they have a big family, their family. And he came over to our house and he began to put his foot on the stool or one of our benches we had. We didn't have very much furniture, but we had a bench. And he put his foot there. And my brother, little brother, he noticed that this man had holes underneath his shoes. Just right in the middle there. He just wore them right out. His heels didn't really have too much heel in there. And my little brother said, you've got holes underneath your shoes. Well, he didn't have too much discretion. See, sometimes you have to have discretion and pretend you didn't even see those holes. Walk right out, run by, and act like you didn't need. And that's what we have to deal with sometimes in certain things. You don't have to always remind people of different things. And you just go right on, pretend it's not even there, and act like they got good shoes. Amen? Okay, so it says, in your relations with those of the outside world, the non-Christians, making the very most of the time and seizing and buying up opportunity. We can buy up opportunity with people that are outside the born-again experience. The people that are not born again, there's some Christians that are speaking constantly Christianese and terminology that people don't understand. They're talking ways and trying to act like they're spiritual, but they're acting stupid with people they don't know. You know, the biggest way we can really help people is begin to, just act normal with people. Talk to them in normal tones and treat them with love and kindness. And when you treat people with love and kindness, they'll start to listen to you, right? And, somebody, I've heard that saying about, I don't care how much you know, but how much you care. People will like that. So sometimes we use terminology, we talk about things that, I don't know about you, like, sometimes, you're talking, it depends what group you hang around with. I know if you spend time with intellectuals, they speak a certain terminology or jargon. You go with some kind of people who are maybe business people or theologians or I don't know what people that have, they have a different kind of language that they talk in. You ever notice that? And so you get around them and they're talking a different language. And you don't know. So we need to speak plainly to people and talk to them in the language of love. So you can use wisdom for your business, your conduct with business people. You can use wisdom with your relationships you have with your family and friends. You can deal with wisdom for every kind of person and every kind of subject. You can use wisdom, not only inside church, but God wants us to use wisdom for the world when we're dealing with the world. Can you say amen? So be careful how you hang around or who you hang around with in life, because you will mirror or reflect people that you hang around with. Eventually, they'll rub off on you or you'll rub off on them. Hopefully, they'll rub off on you. If you're a Christian and you're a wise person, they will, the Bible says, will rub off on you. Now, it says here in Proverbs chapter 13, verse 20, the Amplified Classical Edition says, "He who walks as companion with wise men is wise. But he who associates himself with self-confident fools is a fool himself, and you'll have a bad time because of it, right? So we need to be with people that are wise people. If you're in a gang right now that doesn't have wisdom, you might want to change your place. You might want to change your associations. It's who you associate with, who you hang around with. Regularly begin to rub off on you. You start talking like them, start thinking like them, and they begin to you begin to act like them. In God's wisdom, God gave us parents, and God gave us mom and dad. And we have I don't know if you noticed the sitcoms over the years and different things. They act like the dads are stupid. How many people notice that they act like parents are so stupid? But that's the devil getting into the minds of people. And that gets into impressionable minds. You think, all of a sudden you lose faith in your parents and you lose, respect for your parents because you're listening to that all the time. It gets into your mind, goes on to your spirit. And so, let's look at several verses of scripture here. Proverbs chapter 4, verses 1 to 12, the classical edition. Let's read several scriptures here. This man was a wise man that wrote this Proverbs. The Bible says here, "Hear my words," or "hear my sons." Didn't say "hear" in this version, but it says, "Hear my sons, the instruction of a father, and pay attention in order to gain and to know intelligent discernment, comprehension and interpretation of spiritual matters. For I give you good doctrine, what is to be received. Do not forsake my teaching. When I, Solomon, was a son with my father David, tender and only son in the sight of my mother, Bathsheba, she taught me and said to me, 'Let your heart hold fast to my words. Keep my commandments and live.'" And, it talks about Ephesians 4:6 there. It gives us a scripture, Ephesians 4:6. "Get skillful and godly wisdom." Everybody say, "Get skillful and godly wisdom." Everybody say that one more time. Say, "Get skillful and godly wisdom." Now, we need to get skilled at dealing with life, I don't think, you know, you have to be able to be skilled at it to use information wisely. You can't just say whatever you want. You got to say it in the right tone, in the right manner. Like somebody would say, you know, well, I'm just going to dish out what I know. I'm just going to tell them what I think. Well, no, that's not discretion. We don't want to know what you think. We want to know what God says, and we want it in the manner that's, you know, that's why the Bible says, speak the truth in love. That's what Ephesians says, speak the truth in love. You might be speaking the truth, but is it done in the matter of love? Because you can poison people in that way. Hurt people. And so, get skillful and godly wisdom and get understanding or discernment, comprehension and interpretation. Do not forget and do not turn back from my words of my mouth. Forsake not wisdom, and she will keep and defend and protect you. How many people know that having wisdom, you can live longer? It'll protect you from getting sick. It'll protect you from going broke. It'll protect you from a bad relationship. And do not forget and do not turn back from the words of my mouth. Forsake not wisdom, and she will keep you and defend and protect you. Love her, and she will guard you. The beginning of wisdom is get wisdom, skillful and godly wisdom. For skillful and godly wisdom is the principal thing. With all you have gotten, get understanding and discernment, comprehension and interpretation. Prize wisdom highly and exalt her, and she will exalt and promote you. She will bring you to honor, and when you embrace her, she will shall give you your head a wreath of gracefulness, a crown of beauty and glory she will deliver to you. Hear, O my son, and receive my sayings, and the years of your life shall be many. I have taught you in the way of skillful and godly wisdom, which is comprehensive insight into the ways and purpose of God. I have led you in the path of uprightness. When you walk, your steps shall not be hampered. Your path will be clear and open. When you run, you will not stumble. And here's a discussion between God, godly people, and godly parents, and you know, Bathsheba and David talking to their child Solomon. And that's the kind of relationship we want with our children. And we should have that relationship. We shouldn't be afraid to take our place. Your child doesn't need to have another chum. Your child needs you to be dad. Your child needs you to be mom and to say no when you have to say no. And sometimes people, they say things, you know, he's my best chum, my best friend. But yeah, be a friend. But, you know, there's something about that can be a little bit ungodly about it. You can't dump all your troubles on your kid that doesn't understand things about dad, about mom. And you need to use discretion when you're talking to your children. They don't need to hear stuff and carry stuff. And that will scar them. So we can all grow in wisdom. Are you still interested in this?
Yes.
Okay, so we can all grow in wisdom. We should grow in wisdom. We can learn from other people and learn from whoever God puts in our lives concerning wisdom. We can learn by following God's Spirit, His Holy Spirit in us. We can learn by reading His Word. We can learn by observing other people and how they handle life. We can learn wisdom by watching Jesus in the Gospels, how He handled people, how He handled life, what He do, what did He do in life. Let's go to Luke chapter 2, verse 52. Luke 2:52, the New Living Translation. This is Jesus. The Bible said, Jesus grew in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and people. It says here that Jesus grew in wisdom. As he is growing physically, the Bible says because he had wisdom, he had favor with God. And he had favor with people. Everybody say, favor with God.
Favor with God.
Favor with people. The Bible says when we have wisdom, we're able to have a good relationship with God our Father. When we're not using wisdom, we kind of have, you know, we're kind of sheepish talking to God. We don't want to go to him, you know, with confidence and boldness. The Bible says when you're not walking with God, you have like a, you know, like you have a, you feel guilty talking to God. You feel condemned talking to God. No, God wants us to go to him with clear heart. Heart full of confidence and faith and trust in God that he will not turn you away. We can go to God and ask him for wisdom anytime. Not only that, but when we use wisdom, godly wisdom, we have favor with people. People will love you. People will embrace you. People will accept you. People will work with you. And if they don't accept you, then you just pass on and don't hang around. The Bible says don't hang around with fools anyway. Just walk away from it. Amen. The Lord followed his Father. Is God his Father? He kept his word. He did everything his Father said. We also need to follow what Jesus did. We have to learn by making, you know, we don't have to learn. Somebody said, the only way to have wisdom is to live and make a lot of mistakes and don't do them again. Well, that's not true. You don't have to go and make a whole pile of mistakes and learn from all your mistakes. Now, you can make a mistake, a mistake because you don't know, and you can be forgiven and you won't feel bad. You don't have to go and just go ahead and live, any way you want recklessly and say, oh, I'll learn from it anyway. Well, you might die in the meantime. You might get sick. You might, you might have a problem with someone. You don't want to have that. Life means more than you think. You know, this life is more, the life that you're living right now is more than you think. In God's wisdom. So God wants you to live and conduct your way in a certain way so that there's a purpose in it. And the way you conduct your life is for other people and for eternal purposes. So we can learn wisdom by observing other people, as we said. The more and more we live, the more we learn as we go along. Now listen here. Psalm chapter 90 verse 12 says, the psalmist says, teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. This is Psalm 90, verse 12, the King James Version. But the King James Version is a little bit confusing, but because there you read it, you say, what is he talking about? So let's go over to the New Living Translation, and you can see here what he's trying to say. He's saying, teach us to realize the brevity of life, or the shortness of life. How many people know that life here compared to eternity is short? You say, well, I'm old. Well, you're 85 years old, but it's short compared to eternity. Teach us to realize the brevity of life so that we may grow in wisdom. Psalm 90, verse 12. This shows us that there is more to life than the here and now. There's more to life than the here and now. It's so short, this life here. So there's a higher point to life than just making a living and living a normal life. That's great, you have that, but there's more to life than just going to work and eating supper. Right? Just get out of my way. I got to go eat supper. You know, Pastor, hurry up, preach. It's almost 12 o'clock. They put a funny clock back there. I can't even see that clock. At least they should have shined a light on it. They took it down because I'm preaching too short. They want me to preach longer in this church. So it says it's 11:51 over here. I can see real clear enough. I can, it's so small, but over there I can't see it. Take that clock and throw it out. Okay, so. That's why they had these big numbers back there in the electronic clock. Where are you going? Is it chicken time already? Okay, so anyway. So there's a higher point to life than just eating chicken, right? Higher point to life than just going out and eating, going to, you know, Robin's and having, you know, we got to go have our soup. We like to have soup every Sunday. We eat our soup at Robin's, you know. We go to Hoyto, have our pancakes and stuff like that. So there's a higher point than Hoyto and KFC. There's more to life than that. So we're going to eat burgers this afternoon, I heard. Oh, Lord, help us. In the name of Jesus. Is Pastor Steve cooking? Pray real hard. The Bible says your life is so short. It is so short that it's like a vapor of smoke. You know what a vapor of smoke? How long do you see a vapor of smoke? Or a far, like a little, you know? It doesn't last long. I seen, you know, the other day I was, you know, in our coming out of a hotel, and there was a man smoking, you know, and we were actually driving behind this other guy, and every time he smoked this, whatever you call this thing, vape. How many of you guys are vapors over here? Okay, now we wanted to ask you to raise your hand. But he was vaping, and, you know, it was such a big puff of smoke like this, and was gone in a second. And it looks cool. They say people like, you know, people like to vape because it looks kind of cool. But anyway, the Bible says your life is like a vape. That's true. You're like a vape. So notice this, James chapter 4:14, it says in here, whereas you know not what shall be tomorrow, or you don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor. See, that's all in the Bible. Say, I'm vaping because that's in the Bible. That appears for a little time. Okay? And vanishes away. Okay? So I'm having a little fun with this. Okay, so okay. But anyway, let's go to Amplified Classical of James 4:14. Yet you do not know the least thing about what may happen tomorrow. What is the nature of your life? You are really but a wisp of vapor, a puff of smoke, a mist that is visible for a little while and then disappears into the thin air. One day you're here, next day you're gone. I want to tell you something. How you live your life is so important. Your life will follow you to the next life. Whether you go to hell, there's a hell, the Bible said Jesus talked about hell, or you go to heaven. All the things that you did on earth will follow you to heaven. And God will reward you for what you did here. Tell yourself. Now, nobody wants to talk about hell because, you know, they say it's what is that word they use now today? It's not what? It's not politically correct. I went one time to go to get some work done on my back. And I was talking to the massage, lady, what are you called? The massage? Masseuse, okay? And he said, you know, I was scratching my back and everything, I was working out there. And he said, you know, my kids, I'm a preacher, and I said, well, I sent my kids one time to church, you know? He said, to the Catholic church. And they said there's about hell in there. My kids came home terrified. And I would never send them to church again. Well, maybe it's better they got terrified. They don't want to go there. There is one. Amen? There is a hell. Jesus talked about it. He talked about hell a lot. You don't want to go to hell. I mean, I mean, we talk about it that way, but, you know, listen, there is, you know, your life is for eternal purposes. And so your life is not just about going to eat supper or breakfast or lunch after we leave here. Life has more to it than that. You say, well, I'm just going to live my life all the way I want to. It's my life. Now, if you're born again, Jesus bought your life. It's not your life. How many people know that your life that you have now, Jesus bought your life? And but the fact, let me just tell you, the fact is that God, Jesus bought the whole world with his blood. It's up to us to accept it. Okay? I'm trying to speed up here. Get away from this puff of smoke. The James 4:14 in the Common English Bible, it says, you don't really know about tomorrow. What is your life? You are a mist that appears for only a short while before it vanishes. Ladies and gentlemen, you need to know life, there's more to life than what kind of silly things we do sometimes. Some of our dreams, some of us are dreaming, like I told my wife, we were going somewhere the other day, and my wife reminded my children about something. She said, you know, your mom, your dad prayed for these things over here, and he cried about it. And we laugh today because, you know, the things that you cry about today, you'll laugh about tomorrow, somebody said. You know, how many think about the silly prayers that you prayed? And I bet some of you would be so happy that God didn't give you that, some of those things. And you know, thank God that we can use wisdom today and ask for what is more important. Glory to God. Give me three more minutes. Luke chapter 13, or chapter 12, verse 13, says here, chapter 12 and 13. Let me just go and read a couple of things. We'll wind her down here. Someone called from the crowd. This is Luke 12 and 13. We'll read a couple of verses, a few scriptures here. Luke chapter 12, verse 13 and verse 20 to 21, the New Living. Someone called out from the crowd, "Teacher, please tell my brother to divide our father's estate with me." Jesus replied, "Friend, who made me a judge over to decide such things as that?" Then he said, "Beware, guard against every kind of greed. Life is not measured by how much you own." Then he told them a story. A rich man had a fertile farm that he produced fine crops. And he said to himself, "What should I do? I have room for all my crops." Then he said, "I know, I'll tear down my barns and build bigger ones. Then I'll have more room to store all my wheat and other goods. And I'll sit back and say to myself, my friend, you have enough to store it away for years to come. Now take it easy, eat, drink, and be merry." But God said to him, "You fool! You fool! You will die this very night. Then who will get everything you work for? Yes, a person is a fool to store up earthly wealth, but not have rich relationship with God." This is Luke chapter 12, verses 13 to 21, the New Living. Life is more important than just living normal everyday things. Yes, those things are important. Yes, having a house and having a car and having nice clothes and living in probably the best places in town or whatever you want to, wherever you want to live. Those are important if that's what you want. But it's just not about that. Life is more important than what you have. More important. Jesus is talking about that over here. Don't just work in life just for natural things, but work with your relationship with God. That's what he's talking about. Work with your relationship with God. Everybody say, work with your relationship with God. So how you conduct yourself in God. In God. Now listen here. Proverbs 30, verse 1 to 3. He says in here, in Proverbs chapter 30, verse 1 to 3, the words of Agur, the son of Jakeh, his utterance, this man declared to Ithal and Ukal. Surely, how would you like to have the friend's name Ithal and Ukal? "Surely you are more stupid than any man, and do not have the understanding of a man. Neither have learned wisdom, nor I have knowledge of the Holy One." See, what's more important is to have the knowledge of God in your life. You know, as we said, what is wisdom? According to the scripture and Proverbs 4:11, it's comprehensive insight into the ways and purposes of God. It's having understanding of God's word, what his word says about applying knowledge and wisdom and to our lives. Proverbs 4:11, the Amplified Classical says, "I have taught you in the way of skillful and godly wisdom, which is comprehensive insight into the ways and purposes of God. I have led you in the path of uprightness." You know, the story of Daniel and how he was able to apply knowledge and help out. So we see Daniel, God gave him wisdom. God was able to use this man, this young man. Today, you and I can be like Daniel. We can use wisdom to deal with different things he dealt with, you know, the Babylonian leadership and people there. He was able to use wisdom, and he got favor with those people because he put God first. He didn't want to defile himself with the king's food. He said, "Let me tell you," and he made a proposition to them. He said, "You know what? The king employed all these young Jewish men, and he said, let's take the finest people. Let's teach those people. Let's put them, learn them in our ways and put them to work in operation in our lives. And let's feed them this kind of food," and so forth and so on. And Daniel said, "Listen, I don't want to defile myself with that kind of food. I want to eat this way. This is what I feel like I should eat. So listen, we could use wisdom in dealing with people. And the Bible says that this man found wisdom with those people, and he was able to help them in the ways of God. I believe that we can use wisdom. Right now, I'm going to stop here because there's more to tell about this and how to get wisdom. We need to get wisdom. And I want to remind you as you stand up right now and give you a scripture that today we can use wisdom for every area of our lives. Now, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7 to 8, I would like you to get that up there as we're going to close here. If the team want to come up here as well, besides yourself. You don't have enough team? Okay. You know, we need to, you're asking yourself, well, how do we get wisdom? Well, in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7 to 8, the new international version says this: in him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. In accordance with his riches of God's grace, he lavished on us with all wisdom and understanding. The Bible said that God lavished on us through Jesus all wisdom, all comprehensive wisdom. The Ephesians, same verse here, latter part of that in Amplified says, which he lavished upon every kind of wisdom and understanding, practical insight and prudence. The Bible says that God has given us this ability to obtain this wisdom. We should ask God for it today. We should ask God for this kind of wisdom. Whatever you're dealing with right now, I want you to stretch your faith out and ask God for witty inventions. The Bible says in Proverbs 8 and verse 12 that God says, I, wisdom, dwell with prudence and find out knowledge of witty inventions. The Bible said God can give you a witty invention, a clever invention, how to get out of stuff, how to get out of problems, how to create new things, new ideas, so that you can be blessed immensely. We should pray Ephesians chapter 1, verse 17. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 17. This is what it says. We can pray this today, right now, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of him. We can pray this prayer for ourselves, for our own children. We can pray this for our children. I don't care how long or how bad things are. Pray this prayer. Ask God. Everybody say this with me. Thank God.
Thank God.
Wisdom is available to me. So I have the wisdom of God. The wise one living inside of me. I'm praying the prayer of Paul in Ephesians 1:17. I pray that my God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto me the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. I pray that I would know his power, that I would know his glory, that I'll understand what this life is all about, and I'll be able to apply wisdom to every area of my life. I want to thank you, God, that you've answered my prayer for wisdom, dealing with every area, every issue, every detail. So I'm believing that right now, that when I leave here and face the situation, I'm going to say, I know how to deal with that, because I'm saying what God says. In Jesus' name, lift that hand up and begin to thank God right now. Father, by faith, we claim it right now. Go ahead and claim it right now. Father, thank you. Thank you for wisdom and revelation. In the name of Jesus, we thank you for every area of our lives. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord God, with every eye closed, every head bowed, if you're in this room right now and you've been away from God, you need to get right with God, or you've never been with God. I'm going to ask you right now, with every eye closed, every head bowed, just for 1 second. If you're in this room right now, you've never made Jesus Christ the Lord of your life, and you need to do that today. You sense that I gotta get right with God. I've been walking with my own sense, and I haven't been doing the things I should be doing. So today I'm going to make a change in my life. So if there's somebody like that that said, you know, I want to walk with God. I need to operate in God's wisdom. I want to operate. I want to live long. I want to have prosperity. I want to be healthy. I want to have good mental health. I want to have peace in my life. I don't want to have those problems anymore. If you're here right now, God is talking to you. I want to ask you right now, is that you? With every head bowed, every eye closed. You say, I need to get right with God. I need the wisdom of God. I'm looking around the room right now, with every eye closed, every head bowed, and say, if you say, Pastor, I want you to pray for me. Lift that hand up way up high. I want to pray with you right now. Anybody? One. Anybody else? Anybody else? Two. Anybody else? Three. Anybody else? Anybody else? Thank God. I want to pray with you. Don't be shy. It doesn't matter who sees you lift your hand. It doesn't matter who's that. It's between you and God. I want you to stand right here. Come with me right now. I'm going to pray with you. It's another step to do it. Stand in front of me right now. I'm going to pray with you in the name of Jesus. I'm going to give you that time. Come on, sir. Come on, ma'am. Come on. We're going to pray with you right now. Come on. Come on, sir. Thank you. Thank you. Anybody else? You wanted to pray that prayer. You should have prayed that prayer. You needed to pray that prayer. You want to make sure that I'm going to deal with it. I'm going to deal with this situation right now. Come on. Thank you. Be a man and woman of God. Be integrous. Be honest. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord God. Let's pray this prayer together. Let's pray this prayer together. Father, I want to thank you right now for these people that have come up. And they're saying, I want the wisdom of God. Lord, I want to change my life. I want to do things the right way. I know I'm smart. I know I'm intelligent. I have skills. I have a training or whatever it is. But Father, it takes more than that. It takes the wisdom of God. Wisdom is seeing about the consequences and all the things that could happen, may happen. And so, Father, right now, say this, say, dear God, I'm sorry for using another kind of wisdom. I want to use your wisdom to apply in every area of my life. I want to measure, the full measure of the blessing of God in my life. And so right now, I receive by faith what Pastor said about wisdom, about the blessing of God. So I thank you right now by faith. I lift my hands towards heaven. Come on. I lift my hands towards heaven. Everybody lift your hands towards heaven. I want to thank you right now that I have wisdom to deal with every issue in my life. No matter what it is, spiritual or natural, in every area, every facet of life, every soulless thing, every physical, material thing. In the name of Jesus, I thank you that I have wisdom to deal with every issue. In the name of Jesus, now I thank you for strength. I thank you for strength in my spirit right now. Fill me with your power. Fill me with your strength. Invigorate me with your power so that I'd be strong in faith as I walk through this hard and difficult time, challenging time. We give you praise in the name of Jesus. Everybody said amen. Can you start worshiping God and thank God out loud with us right now? Come on. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. We praise you. We thank you for wisdom, the wisdom of God. In Jesus' name. Amen and amen. I pray for you in the name of Jesus. Father, I lay hands on you. For the power of the Holy Spirit shall keep you strong. As you heard the word, a prophecy going forth this morning, God is speaking to you. Woo! The power of God is on you right now. Oh, changing, rearranging. Oh, ha, ha, ha. He knows the beginning from the end. Oh, you're not out there alone. I'm with you. I'm guiding you. And I'm showing you, I'm pushing you towards what you should be going to, and I'm protecting you from all the operations of the enemy, and you will not be defeated. Thank you, Lord. Yeah. Thank you, in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord God. Rest assured that my hand is upon you, will always be upon you, in Jesus' name. Thank you as I lay hands on this man. Thank you for the wisdom of God. penetrating deeply into his heart. In the name of Jesus, you will deal wisely with every issue. And have confidence. Have confidence in my word, and I'll bring it to pass. Praise me for the answers that you are looking for. And thank me day and night, and you shall see it come to pass. Oh, people will say, what? Oh, yeah, that guy. I know that guy. How did he ever do that? Oh, they say he's with God. Oh, yeah. He's a child of God. Ha, I wouldn't bother him. Leave him alone. Ha. Oh, the protection of God's on you. Oh, there's no little thing you're dealing with. This is a big thing. God has something big in store for you. People are going to be amazed. You're going to be amazed. Oh, ha. Keep this word in your heart. Begin to say it out loud to yourself. God has big things for me. Oh, yes. Ha. Thank you, Lord God. Glory to God. Father, you give wisdom to the simple. You give simple answers to complicated issues in life. Therefore, you'll have simple answers to all the complicated things that you find that you've struggled with. Oh, God has healed those areas, not only in your heart, but in your head. Healing has arrived today. Woo! Glory to God, in the name of Jesus. Thank you. Thank you, Father. I just want to thank you. Oh, Melody, great open doors. Valuable. The word is valuable. Valuable situations are opening up for you in the name of Jesus. Thank you. For the word of faith has been preached to you. You shall rise above to a new level of authority. You have not taken your authority the way you should have. You should have taken authority when you could have, but you didn't. But now you will. You're going to see a bolder statement in your walk, a bolder way. Oh, thank you, Jesus. I praise you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank God for his goodness. Thank God for the measure of faith. Hallelujah. Father, we pray for all the food that we're going to be eating. We pray for extra strength to digest all the food. And nothing will help, nothing will hamper us. Father, we thank you for it. In the name of Jesus, did everybody say amen? Amen. Hallelujah. All right, go ahead. Be blessed. Amen. Glory to God. Amen.